Step right up, come one, come all, and hear a tale of graveyards and hubris. Step right up, welcome to the Midnight Sideshow.
Please do not disturb the crypts.
We don't have any more room,
Alice said, outstretching her hands in front of her in mock zombie fashion. Kyle scoffed.
That's not what it means, dummy,
he said, shaking his head in disbelief at how dumb his classmate was. It was Halloween, and so everyone had been thinking and talking of monsters. There was an old phrase from years and years ago he'd heard his father and a couple of older folk use. Please do not disturb the crypts. We don't have any more room, they'd say on occasion, sometimes more seriously than others. Alice seemed to think it had something to do with the dead coming back to life, but that didn't make sense. Kyle was 9, and wasn't exactly sure what the phrase meant, but he knew Alice was stupid, so she was probably wrong.
Then what does it mean, smarty pants?
She asked, cocking her head impatiently.
This was going to be a long train ride if he couldn't come up with something.
When Kyle finally arrived at his neighborhood's train station, he stepped off, his father waiting for him.
Where's Mom?
She's preparing for the Halloween party, remember?
Oh, right. Kyle thought a moment and then dared to ask.
Hey, Dad.
What does "please do not disturb the crypts, we don't have any more room" mean? His dad froze, and Kyle was almost sure he could see his face grow pale.
Where did you hear that?
I've heard people say it before, but Alice said it at school, and she said it was about zombies.
Well, she sort of did. That's how he took it, at any rate.
I think you're old enough to hear this story.
Kyle's dad set the stage by telling him this took place when he was about 17.
Back then, mankind had still been living in biospheres. The eventual degradation of Earth's environmental systems as a whole by pollution had finally made the surface of the Earth unlivable, and humans had started to build biospheres for themselves to live in, tiny little pocket ecosystem cities. Of course, this meant that food and water production became vastly different from what they had previously been. Food was created synthetically, and protein bars wrapped in water-soluble wrapping papers replaced meat, and similar foods had replaced the rest of the food chain, and desserts were the main food items with any flavor any longer. This, of course, was all information that Kyle could find in a standard history recording, however, with a quick internet search. In fact, they'd probably heard about it 30 times in class by now.
But that's also when they started moving all of the graves into the biospheres too. At first, they tried to create private biospheres where the graveyards already were, but that didn't work. It wasn't cost-effective, and the biospheres often broke down because it was difficult to get maintenance workers away from their other upkeeps, so problems piled up quickly. Eventually, everyone agreed on what needed to be done. The graves needed to be moved. But someone didn't like that. By this point, Kyle's eyes were wide. Was this going to be a scary story? He loved scary stories. His father then opened the story by telling him, "Just a few years before I was born, they'd finished moving all the graves into mausoleums underground, as the biospheres already had as much architecture as they could hold above ground. This meant you had to access them by individual elevators or manual access shafts. It also cemented the legends of the Keeper. 20 years earlier, Halloween night was in 3 weeks, and Jimmy was looking for something to do. He was about to head out into the military deployment right on Halloween, and he wanted to get his thrills out before he left. He walked into the campus library and looked around. Where was Lewis? Lewis was a bit of a Halloween head and would have some ideas.
Lewis was also a bit of a nerd and could regularly be found in here among the books. Identifying Lewis from across the room, he began quietly walking in his direction, careful not to make a sound. Getting right up behind Lewis, he quickly grabbed his shoulders and barked. Lewis jumped, of course, as anyone would, and turned to face Jimmy, as everyone else in the room did the same. Ha, ha, very funny. This is a library, dude. Do you not see anyone else in here trying to study?
Hey man, it's fine, it's not a big deal.
Lewis rolled his eyes. He wasn't a big fan of Jimmy, or of his devil-may-care attitude. But they were friends. Sometimes.
Were they?
Lewis found it hard to tell if this was a friendship or an acquaintance.
It all depended on the day and what Jimmy wanted from him. And when he realized that, he realized which one of the two options was the case. This was an acquaintance.
What do you want, James?
Dude, don't call me that. It's Jimmy, he said, glancing around.
I'm looking for some thrills before Halloween.
What, your usual cemetery walk not cutting it? Lewis asked, turning back to his paper.
That's it!
Huh? Lewis turned to ask Jimmy what he was talking about, but Jimmy was gone.
Yeah, I guess that's about right, he sighed.
Lewis was studying hard in his dorm room when he got the hologram recording from Jimmy.
Hey dude, me and Miranda are going to try and see if we can't get the Keeper to show up tonight at floor 233 around midnight. You should join us if you aren't too busy burying your face in those books.
Lewis couldn't believe how ridiculous Jimmy was being. Did he not think the Keeper was real? Did he think the Keeper was a normal person? Was he not aware of the legends?
What legends, Dad? Asked Kyle, eyes wide. His dad stopped and explained.
The legend of the Keeper, of course. The Keeper was a shadowy figure who patrols all the graves in the world, Kyle's dad said, searching Kyle's face to see if he was buying.
Hook, line, and sinker.
He grinned and continued, satisfied that his story had his son hooked. Back when the world governments decided to move all the graves inside the biospheres, legends started popping up of a figure in a long, tattered cloak holding a staff with a withered rose on the top. They say he's made of smoke. They say he has no face. They say if you get close enough to see his face, you'll only see two glowing eyes like flashlight bulbs lit up coming from inside his hood. He started showing up when the movers tried moving the graves. When he did, the movers started to go missing. Kyle's eyes were the size of the moon.
Where did they go?
Well, the legend says the Keeper was angry at them for disturbing the crypts, so he punished them. Lewis had heard this, and he believed the legend, so he rushed to floor 233, the graveyard floor.
Lewis paced the elevator as it hummed, quickly descending the half mile into the earth. He tried to remember what the Keeper did to the people who disturbed the graves. Did he mutilate them? He thought he'd heard that he mutilated them somewhere, if it was a he. Or did he kill them outright?
Lewis tried not to think of that option, but he knew if the Keeper was real, Jimmy and Miranda were in danger. Finally, the elevator slammed to a halt, and the doors slowly opened. This was the right place. Tombstones and mausoleums filled the gigantic place as far as he could see, even to the next elevator shaft's dim lighting some 2 miles away. It was easy to tell that it was another elevator shaft, as the two main ways people got around anymore were elevators and trains. The elevators had a white, warm light, much different than the light that was used to illuminate the tombs. He missed the days a few years ago when personal transportation was still around, like hover ships or roller cars. He missed his old hover ship. Only seated two, but it got him where he needed to go. Faster than the trains did, anyway. Lewis shook himself back to the present and looked around. Every tomb was gently lit with an eerie, soft green light.
with Solacorp's green light, meant to be the most fuel-efficient method to keep the tombs permanently lit for visitors, but it ended up casting a macabre pall on the underground cemetery. Lewis began walking the tombs, hoping to find Jimmy and Miranda, but not holding out much hope. The graveyard was 5 miles in area, and he would be walking for a week just to cover the entire area on foot. Again, he missed his personal transport. He had tried calling, leaving holograms, and even sending him an emergency broadcast, but Jimmy hadn't gotten back to him. As he walked, however, his phone rang. Rushing to answer, he screamed into the receiver, "Jimmy, where are you?" "Relax, dude. I'm at Section 19. "You?" "Section 18. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Don't do anything stupid." "What do you mean?" "Don't be an idiot. You know what I mean." Lewis hung up and began to sprint. He didn't know what Jimmy was doing, but he knew he had to stop him before the keeper did. When Lewis arrived, he could see that Jimmy had an empty beer bottle in one hand and he had a shovel in the other. Not a promising combination.
"Hey, Louie," he said, obviously under the influence. "We're looking to see how Jerry here died." He pointed to a cracked open crypt door where an exposed skeleton lay. "But if you ask me, I'm gonna say his skin melted off. Boop! Gone, it's gone."
Jimmy doubled over and began to wheeze laugh, to Lewis and Miranda's horror. "I've been trying to stop him," she said, her face pale. Just then, the skeleton in the crypt started to shudder and twitch. Everyone froze in horror and stared as the skull broke off of its neck and quickly spun to face them, eyes shining with light where the empty socket should have been.
"Who dares to disturb the tombs?" came an impossible voice.
Jimmy looked like he'd seen a ghost, and Miranda and Lewis grabbed him by the arms and began to drag him to the elevator as fast as they could as black smoke began to pour from the crypt out onto the ground like the vapor of dry ice. Jimmy was suddenly sober and realized what he'd done.
"Oh crap, oh crap, oh crap!"
The elevator was only 30 feet away.
"Elevator, open!"
called Lewis, prompting the computerized voice command software. "Elevator, incoming." The elevator hummed as the elevator car began to race to their level from wherever it had been. Miranda, being the best in shape, got to the elevator door first, just as it opened, and ran inside. But to Jimmy and Lewis's horror, they watched as Miranda stepped into an empty shaft and fell over the ledge. Her screams were silenced by the roaring sound of the elevator car coming flying down after her, not stopping at their floor, but continuing down. Horror drained the color from their faces as Lewis and Jimmy realized the Keeper was controlling the elevator and had used it to kill Miranda.
"Two souls have disturbed the sleep,"
a ghostly voice said, sounding inches away. But when Jimmy and Lewis turned to look, he was a great distance away from them. He was a terrifying sight, with glowing light bulb eyes, a ragged-looking black cloak, smoke billowing out the bottom of his robe like tendrils reaching every direction.
"Two souls will be put to rest."
Neither Jimmy or Lewis knew what to do. "We gotta get out of here," Lewis said, looking for emergency exits. He'd heard the Keeper lost his power outside of the catacombs, so if they could find an escape ladder or hatch, they could get free if the legends were true. Lewis looked around and found a ladder a quarter of a mile away.
"Let's go!" Lewis shouted, pointing to the ladder.
As they began to run, Jimmy spotted one of the tendrils of smoke shoot into the elevator shaft they were about to go for, and watched in horror as it dragged Miranda's lifeless body up and out of the shaft and shoved her crumpled form into a nearby grave, another tendril covering her over with dirt. The Keeper buried his victims in the tombs. That's where the missing workers had gone to, wasn't it? Running as fast as they could, the two watched in horror as the whole floor began to tremble, and countless tombs broke open, the inhabitants racing to catch up with them in varying states of decay, all of them with light bulb eyes.
"Great!" shouted Lewis. "Now we have zombies chasing us." "Good call, Jimmy! This was a great idea!" "Oh, come on! I thought this was an old myth. How was I supposed to know this thing was real?"
right before they could get to the ladder, once swiped at Jimmy's ankle and nearly tripped him, but he jumped over. Lewis, however, wasn't so fortunate. By the time Jimmy realized what had happened and turned back, Lewis now lurched among the undead, eyes lit up with the same light bulb eyes they all now had, head hanging at an impossible angle, neck broken. Jimmy froze, realizing he was surrounded. He braced for death, and shoving his eyes closed, tight as he could, he waited. He waited a bit for what seemed like an eternity, and when nothing happened, he reopened his eyes. Lewis was an inch away from his face, eyes bright with those wicked eyes.
"Two souls," he said in a voice not his own. "Two souls have been put to rest."
Looking closely, Jimmy saw old tears running down Lewis' face from the moment of his death.
"Your debt is paid. Do not come back except to rest."
In a loud and sudden boom, all of the corpses tore with lightning speed back to their resting places. 1 second before Jimmy, the next gone. Lewis' lifeless corpse hovered before Jimmy a few moments more with those damned light bulb eyes, and then snapped across the darkness and into an open grave, as if dragged by a long invisible string that had been snagged with the speed of a train. Jimmy was still in shock when the elevator shaft to his left dinged open, flooding the area with white light. Kyle's father coughed, bringing him back to the present. Jimmy told everyone what happened, and at first, nobody believed him. There was an investigation to see what happened to the two friends who went missing, but the crypts have security cameras installed, and they got everything on camera. Jimmy proved the existence of the Keeper, but it cost the life of his two best friends. He said to Kyle, the two of them finally having arrived home from their walk from the train station. Ever since, they've had signs up at the entrance and exit to every floor 233. "Please do not disturb the crypts. We don't have any more room." Kyle's eyes were wide. Boy, would he have a story for Alice tomorrow. After leaving Kyle with his mom downstairs, James went up to the bedroom and pulled out an old shoebox from under his bed. Carefully removing the lid, he pulled out two old, weathered photographs. He reviewed the images of his two lost friends, remorseful.
"I can't believe what I cost you. You should have grown old with me, found families, found love. Yet you paid for my sins instead."
Just then, his wife came into the room.
"You okay, Jimmy?"
"I'll be fine," he said. But he wouldn't be.
20 years later, he still felt the guilt. He had killed his best friends, and that would never go away.
When stepping out onto a busy street, you'd be remiss not to look both ways before crossing. Not because oncoming traffic is certain, but rather because it is simply possible. More likely than not, your pocket of the world is a philosophical war zone between traditionalists who believe in some sort of a supernatural realm and those who believe humanity has no more need for faith, dubbing it a child's comfort item necessary only in ancient times without modern comforts and modern science. I could try to tell you that the supernatural world exists, or I could tell you that it doesn't, but that's not the point of this story. The point of this story is quite simple. Be humble. The world is a big, complicated place full of much larger and more complicated things than you or I can comprehend. Whether dabbling in the supernatural or swimming in a lake, my offer of wisdom tonight is a simple one. Always look both ways before crossing your proverbial streets. You never know what might be headed your way, or what catastrophe might befall you if you don't look before you cross. I'm Edward Johnson. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Midnight Sideshow. We'll be trying to upload a new sideshow for you to enjoy every other week. So check back around May 17th, and we might have a new episode up for you. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Sideshow. If you'd like to get in touch with me or receive updates, follow my Instagram page at instagram.com/midnightsideshowhorrorchannel. This podcast is hosted on anchor.fm, but you can find The Sideshow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and way more. Head to your favorite podcast hosting service and search Midnight Sideshow. There's a good chance we'll be there. If we're not, shoot us a line on our Instagram and let us know where you'd like to see us next. Thank you for all of your support, listener. You make this possible. Again, I'm Edward Johnson. Have a good night.